Dr. Jerry Lemieux, executive director of the Unmanned Vehicle University. You want to talk about a problem that needs a solution? How about jobs? That would be something where we might want to say, what do we need to do? How can government assist in creating the environment where jobs might be created and plentiful? Well, what about unmanned vehicles? Is that an area that we should explore? Dr. Jerry Lemieux, the executive director of the Unmanned Vehicle University, former professor at my alma mater, Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University. Where did I go to school? Budweiser University. Dr. Lemieux, thank you for indulging me and welcome to the show.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much for having me on, Jerry, for this afternoon. And Congress really agrees with what you just mentioned about creating jobs. They just passed a law that requires the FAA to integrate civil unmanned aircraft into into the airspace.
Well, when I look at these unmanned vehicles, I think most people's connection to them, Doctor, would be along the lines of with the drones that are flying over in Iraq and Afghanistan. And I think the unmanned vehicle market is pretty much right now for the casual observer limited to military operations, whether it's the Predators or whatever else it is that they're using. Your work is along the lines of air, land, and sea, an industry that potentially could create tens of thousands of jobs.
That's exactly right. The FAA has a forecast that in 5 years, over 10,000 civil unmanned aircraft, and in 10 years, 25,000 civil unmanned aircraft will be flying in the national airspace. So there are a range of missions that are actually being flown right now. Customs and Border Protection is one example where they have a Predator, and that surveys the borders of the United States. And UAVs are actually being used in many, many civil applications. Japan has helicopters spraying the crops, and they're being used for search and rescue operations. You have the driverless cars, obviously, with Google out there on the road. The Navy is using unmanned underwater vehicles, and they also have ships and boats that are unmanned that are cruising on the surface of the ocean.
Is the problem right now with the UAVs and the drones, let's call them that, to pull them all together, that the reaction or the rejection is that it's a big brother intrusion into people's lives, that no matter where you look, you thought it was a hummingbird, but it's actually a drone. You thought it was an owl, but it was actually a drone. And why are these drones flying around, and what are they watching, and why are they spying on us, and what are they doing with the data?
Yeah, that's a very good point. There's actually some ethics issues that are being debated on both sides of the table along those lines. One of the first applications for civil UAVs is going to be in the law enforcement industry. As you mentioned, there are several law enforcement agencies in the United States that are actually testing with an agreement with the FAA. They're testing small UAVs to fly around and work on the area that you just mentioned where they do surveillance. Very, very helpful when you have someone trying to evade and it's nighttime and you can't see and you have an infrared sensor that can see the heat of a body walking around on the ground. They've actually made some arrests of people. They've captured people by being able to find them with these unmanned drones. And the Customs and Border Protection, or actually the military predators up in North Dakota, have actually been credited with the first civil arrest with an incident that happened up there. They had an agreement with the law enforcement agencies, civil and military, to take a look at a situation that was occurring up there, and the end result was it actually ended up with the first first civil arrest from an unmanned aircraft vehicle.
I'm kind of a nostalgia guy, Dr. Lemieux. I know you've been flying for four decades. You got over 10,000 hours of flight time. There's something nostalgic to me about the guy on the freeway that's with the Civil Air Patrol that's flying the Piper Cub that's trying to click me off, you know, on the white stripes on the side of the freeway. I figure, you know, if you can catch me that way, that's kind of cool. But I think a lot of people just go, are we being overwatched? Are we being over-surveilled? And to whose benefit? I mean, does it really benefit society that we're being watched to the degree that we are with the efficiency levels that we are? Or is there something to, if you're in a J3 and you can't catch me or you can't get me, I feel like I got a little bit of a W in the column there?
I don't know. I mean, you can look at both sides of the issue. One side of the issue is it's a lot cheaper to operate one of these than it is to buy a $12 million helicopter for a police department. So they're saving on money, they're saving the taxpayers' dollars. Yes, you're right that, you know, if you look in general, after 9/11, security in the United States has just taken off, you know, at an incredible rate. You know, when the police or the law enforcement agencies are doing their job, they're focused on a particular incident or issue. And, you know, the fact that these guys are up in the air and they're looking at things doesn't mean they're looking at everybody. I mean, you're trying to generalize there, I think, a little bit when you say, you know, everybody's going to be affected by this. But, you know, the field of view on one of these sensors from the unmanned vehicles is very narrow. So the law enforcement agencies really need to know where they're going and what they're looking for. And they're not going to be looking in your backyard because they don't have the field of view to see right. everything. They're very focused.
Right. But and again, I just want you to understand, I'm not creeped out by it because I got nothing to hide. I'm not worried about people going through my emails. I'm not worried about people going through my trash because I shred everything. You know, I'm not worried about people peering into my life because I don't have that fear. But, you know, you in your piece, the Associated Press, they talk about this civilian drone flights at home, whether it's the Global Hawk, 116-foot wingspan, or a hummingbird-like drone that weighs less than a AA battery, can perch on a window ledge to record sound and video. I think some people would be looking out and going, that's a nice, is that a hummingbird? I mean, I think some people just have an immediate rejection of this technology that is to the benefits you describe and what you talk about and teach about at the university, that a little concerned that there's just too much of this type of surveillance peering into too many aspects of our lives.
No, that's a very good observation that you've seen that happening. The Air Force Research Laboratory actually has a division that's focused on what those vehicles are called, are micro air vehicles. They're very small, and they have very small sensors, and they're very difficult to detect because they blend in. It looks like an insect. It looks like a bird. That's the idea, and it's not really for civilian applications, I don't believe. It's more right. focused on military applications where you're somewhere where the bad guys are, and you don't want the bad guys to know you're there.
Right. I see the benefits. Now, with regard to job creation and this whole mandate, Congress with the FAA allowing civilian and military drones to fly in civilian airspace by September of 2015, what kind of a job market is this? You're involved in the creation of the only private sector school in the world that's dedicated to this growing field of unmanned vehicles, air, land, and sea. What kind of a job potential is there in the mainstreaming of these vehicles?
Well, you know, the only real way to get an education today before this university was established was to go in the military. So that's, you know, that's a weak point, and that's the point that we're trying to focus on. There are several schools, including Embry-Riddle, that have developed unmanned vehicle bachelor's degrees, but they pretty much take an aviation program that's already established, and they just add a few unmanned courses and call that an unmanned operations degree. We're trying to focus more on higher education, master's and PhD degrees for guys that want to do design, development, research and development, integration, test, and operations. The guys that are building the new unmanned aircraft of the future. There are over 350 UAVs out there in the world right now, and they're constantly being created. New ones are being created. The U.S. government is spending $6 billion a year for the next 10 years on unmanned systems, and that number is $10 billion a year worldwide. The government has that money appropriated despite the cuts in the defense budget. So the theory is that money has to be spent by acquisition of new, much of it on acquisition for new vehicles, and companies are going to need to hire people in order to meet the requirements, in order to get the programs up and running to do the design, the development, the integration, the test, and the fielding of the new vehicles.
So
thousands of jobs are going to be created. And what we're trying to do is prepare for this explosion in the civil UAS market that's going to occur. As you mentioned, you talked about a rule passing in 2015. Well, this year there's going to be a rule passed for small unmanned aircraft systems, SUAS. And those are guys that are that weigh less than 55 kilograms and are going to fly below 400 feet. So that market alone is going to cause a major explosion in civil UAS.
Right. So I guess when you put the hummingbird feeder out, you don't see the red liquid dropping down to any degree of significance. The hummingbirds in your backyard might not actually be hummingbirds. They might be unmanned vehicles. The mainstreaming of drones, the job opportunities that exist. Dr. Jerry Lemieux, the executive director, Unmanned Vehicle University, former professor at Daniel Webster and Embry Riddle Aeronautical University, my alma mater. If you had to choose between the two, Dr. Lemieux, Daniel Webster, ERAU, which one are you going with? Come on.
Well, I don't know. I taught at both schools, and they're both very good schools. And
all right. Well, I'm going to send a drone over your vehicle so I can see what sticker you have in the back window to see what college you're promoting. So I'm going to be watching you, too. If I understand correctly, the website is UXVUniversity.com?
That's right. And the X, you can put in a A for air vehicle, a G for ground vehicle, and a U for underwater vehicle. So the X is kind of a designator for the type of vehicle. UXV, University.
UXVUniversity.com is the website. Dr. Jerry Lemieux, the executive director, Unmanned Vehicle University. Interesting future there, Dr. Lemieux. I appreciate you taking the time to join us on the show.
Well, thank you very much for having me on.
Yes, sir. See that? Now I got to watch the hummingbirds in the backyard and wonder whether or not that's actually the government that's keeping an eye on me. What if I'm allergic to an unmanned vehicle?